Chicago WMAQ. Chuckles for refreshing pleasure. Delicious, wholesome jelly candy in rich, full-flavored orange, lemon, lime, cherry, anise. Chuckles. 5 slices, 5 flavors, 5 cents. Instead of the program originally scheduled for this time, we bring you a special broadcast. The National Broadcasting Company interrupts this program to bring you a special broadcast. President Truman has just announced that the Anglo-American and Russian armies have met in the heart of Nazi Germany. The juncture took place yesterday at 2 p.m. Eastern wartime at Torgau on the Elbe, 75 miles south of Berlin. Patrols had established contact the day before. The American 69th Division had the honor of enacting the historic meeting for our forces. President Truman issued a short 300-word statement. He said, in the main, the Anglo-American armies under the command of General Eisenhower have met the Soviet forces where they intended to meet, in the heart of Nazi Germany. The enemy has been cut in two. This is not the hour of final victory in Europe, says Mr. Truman, but the hour draws near. He continues, the union of our arms has a meaning for the world which the world will not miss. It means first that the last faint, desperate hope of Hitler and his gangster government has been extinguished. The common front and the common cause of the powers allied in this war against tyranny and inhumanity have been demonstrated in fact as they have long been demonstrated in determination. Second, the president says, the junction of our forces at this moment signalizes to ourselves and to the world that the collaboration of our nations in the cause of peace and freedom is an effective collaboration which can surmount the greatest difficulties of the most extensive campaign in the history and succeed. Finally, says the president, this great triumph of Allied arms and Allied strategy is such a tribute to the courage and determination of Franklin Roosevelt as no words could ever speak, and that could be accomplished only by the persistence and the courage of the fighting soldiers and sailors of the Allied nations. But until our enemies are finally subdued in Europe, he continues, and in the Pacific, there must be no relaxation of effort on the home front. We return you now from Washington to the newsroom, NBC Newsroom in New York.
You have heard the momentous news of the juncture of American and Russian armies, which cuts the remainder of the German Reich in two. Soon we expect to have for your first-hand accounts from London, from Paris, from the 1st Army Headquarters, and from the American 9th Army. First, we hear from John McBain, NBC reporter with the American 1st Army. For his story, we take you to NBC in Western Europe.
This is McBain, ready to go ahead. Ready to go ahead for NBC.
Apparently, we're having some trouble getting John McVane, NBC reporter with the American 1st Army, but come in, John McVane. We'll try him once again. John McVane, come in.
See. I'll go ahead in 5 seconds, NBC. This is John McVane with the 1st Army in Germany. I saw American soldiers joining hands with the men of the Red Army. It was more than joining hands. We hugged and pounded each other. Some of the Red Army men kissed us. Men who'd fought the Germans to a standstill told us that the day of our meeting was one of the great days of history, the greatest day of their lives. The first contact didn't take place in the way that it had been planned. The Russians were on the Elbe. We of the 1st Army were on the Mulde, 30 miles from the Elbe. Russian patrols came down in plain sight of us, almost to the Mulde. The American 69th Division sent out patrols that went right to the Elbe and made the first contact. Then correspondents of the 1st Army, 30 or 40 of us, piled into jeeps, left our lines and headed to the Russians. We went on roads that were streaming with people, German civilians, soldiers, slave laborers, Allied war prisoners. We came in a deserted-looking town, wheeled into the square, and slowly got out of our cars. Suddenly, at doorways on two sides of the square, stood soldiers with Red Army. They dropped their rifles. Someone said, the Russians.
Hello, Blow. Okay.
Army men were surrounded by a dozen men in American uniforms, slapping them on the back.
for an order of the day from General Bradley, commander of the 12th Army Group, whose 1st Army men made the first contact. The order reads, soldiers of the 1st, 3rd, 9th, and 15th American Army. 1640 hours on April 25th, 1945, in the 29th month of our war against the German government, American troops of the 12th Army Group joined forces with Soviet elements, the Marshal Konev's 1st Ukrainian Army Group. These armies have come to you from the ruins of Stalingrad and Sevastopol, across the scorched cities of the Ukraine. In 2 years, they have smashed 1,400 miles through the German army to drive the enemy from Russia and pursue him to the Alps. Their achievements, and they have given immortality to a people that would not be conquered, are made more meaningful by your own deeds. Across 3,800 miles of an ocean supply line, you forced to coast the enemy have been years preparing against you.
Within 4 months after landing,
you destroyed whole army
to take Paris,
and give the world the symbol of freedom. When the enemy raised a new army and threw it into the winter battle of the Ardennes,
you smashed and flung its remnants back.
You have beaten and broken down his mighty sacred line. You crossed the line in your stride. You circled and reduced the roar.
By demonstrating new lessons in mobile warfare, you annihilated whole groups of German armies in the West on their own German soil.
In 10 months, you have fought your way 700 miles from the beaches. These accomplishments were secured by your courage, your resourcefulness, and by your comrades who died to achieve them. You have shared in the liberation of four nations, given hope to others, and conquered half of Germany. The people of America who armed you have had great faith in you.
You have justified that faith as you will in the battles that follow.
The order is signed, Owen Bradley, General of the United States Army.
I return you now to NBC in New York.
You have just heard from John McBain on the Western Front, and you have also heard from our David Anderson there, telling this glorious news of the juncture of American and Russian armies today. And now we have a man standing by in Paris. Roy Porter, our man in Paris, will report to us now. Come in, Roy. Roy Porter is standing by in Paris to tell us what has happened in this juncture of the Russian and the American armies. We'll try Paris once more. Roy Porter, in Paris, come in. That news has just been flashed to us from Europe, from John McVane, from David Anderson, and other reporters are standing by to give their reactions to this official news that Germany now has been cut in two. This juncture of the Russian armies and the American armies now isolates northern Germany and the port cities left to the Reich from the Hitler forces in the southern mountains. Each of these two German forces now is fighting not only a two-front war, but a war from all sides. From the crossing of the Rhine River to their present position, American troops have taken giant strides. American tanks racing across Germany have made up to 40 miles a day. They've managed to plunge forward much faster than anyone dared to hope. After the German defenses just beyond the Rhine River were breached, there seemed to be nothing to stop that powerful American advance. Germany had concentrated many of its divisions in the east against the Russians, of course. Because of destruction by great forces of Allied bombers, the Nazis no longer could move men and tanks with facility back and forth across Germany fast enough to meet any threat. Both General Patton and General Hodges put the task of cutting across Germany up to their tank force commanders. And today we've made an official contact with the Russians, clasped hands with them, as President Truman has said.